Well, an upbeat beginning to this episode of Brewocracy Now on KPTZ. Hi, John Morrow.
Hi. Happy
Welcome
Thursday.
Back. Same to you. Good afternoon to you. Another cold day here in Port Townsend. And it's been 2 weeks since we've heard from you, so I'm looking forward to catching up on what's been going on in this little town out in on the Olympic Peninsula. If you're streaming us, John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager, answers questions via Zoom every Thursday here on KPTZ. Oh, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be back. I missed Thanksgiving, but I know you didn't. And then I was away last Thursday, so it's a pleasure. Missed you, Tim.
Well, it's good to have a break. 2 weeks is forever in a town like Port Townsend. Lots has been going on during that time. just looking at this week's Port Townsend Leader, though, it appears that. Oh, the poplars loom large.
They're big trees
in the public discourse, but I'm sure that's not all that's going on. And so I'm going to leave it to you to catch us up.
Oh wow! Okay. Thank you. Maybe a couple quick things that people who have been busy with their lives may want to just know about as you're listening here. One is just a really big shout out to my team in the city, particularly to Steve King and Ian Jablonski, but also Heidi Greenwood and Nora Mitchell. We proposed a mill agreement to city council and it was approved unanimously this week. And that's because we had reached agreement with the mill on an approach forward for investment into the water system. And, you know, we haven't officially signed it yet, but council has given me the authority to do so. And for all we understand in our communications with the mill, including 2 minutes ago in an email I received, it's all systems go to get that done by the end of the year. So we can celebrate when we get there, but you know, this is a sea change in how we're approaching, as Mayor Sandoval says, one of our most precious resources, and that's our water supply. It's the first time the agreement is going to change in 65 years, I think 65 years. It's the first time we are collectively putting in to fund to repair and replace, particularly the 1928 section of pipe. We have not been at all cagey. We've been very clear for months now that will result in a change in water rates. And that's going to be discussed at the next two council meetings. So if you are concerned about that, you really should show up and tell us what you think. The city will have to invest somewhere along the lines of $400,000 collectively into that capital fund to replace over time, replace our water system. The mill is going to be putting over $4 million into that every year. So, you know, to me, that's it's a signal of you pay for what you use. And so the mill is going to be paying for their water use really for the first time. They pay to operate and maintain, or they pay the operations and maintenance now, but that's probably about $500,000 of overall cost to them. So that's a, you know, 9 or 10 time increase and how much the mill is investing into the pipeline with us. So I'm feeling really confident that we'll get that signature done in the next couple of weeks. I'm really grateful for City Council asking the tough questions, being right up to the play, reading all the white papers. Really, it's a historic decision, and I'm hoping we can celebrate in the new year. So that was pretty big this week. We also passed a budget for next year unanimously. It's a bit more of a positive instead of a depressing budget like the previous year. We still get some challenge, but I think we're pulling ourselves up to recover. So that was that felt good to do. You know, we're, like you said, Tim, we're coming back for another virtual town hall with KPTZ next week on the 15th to talk about the Sims Gateway. Very similar to what we did last time. We want to hear from as many people as possible and explain how you can help shape the success of the project. You know, and then there's Evans Vista. There's we're scrutinizing a housing, a push toward workforce and affordable housing. And that was on the council agenda this week as well. So you know, there have been a few things going on. I'm sure I'm missing things. That's just a quick little flavor of what we discussed just this week.
Evans Vista, John, can you explain again? That's kind of a new term to me.
Yeah, sure. So, as part of our legislative, well, that was another thing. We passed our legislative agenda at City Council this week. I mean, it kind of goes on. But last year, we asked the state for help in providing money for infrastructure for affordable housing. We've realized that we're not best suited to move forward projects like Cherry Street. We realize that we've made some errors there in the past. And so, you know, we're not going to swing hammers and build housing, but we do infrastructure pretty well. And so we asked the state for money for land acquisition and utilities. We received $3.1 million in grants, no match required. So that's money into the city from the state, you know, and we also made that request at the federal level. Unfortunately, we made the short list for Senator Murray's earmark list, but that was it was stripped out during committee, so we didn't get that allocation. But we're still going to keep going. We talked to Murray's team this past week, and we've got some other ideas. But the point is, there's a large parcel of land. We were looking for where there are opportunities to build affordable and workforce housing, and what can the city do to make a development infrastructure ready. So we're not going to be the developer. That's a hard go, but we can ready a piece of land in the right place for that kind of development and actually control the outcome in terms of, you know, this will be not just market rate housing. This will be affordable workforce. And so we are exploring what that looks like in a place called Evans Vista, which is a piece of property just south of the Rainier Roundabout as you drive into town. And it's frankly one of the largest pieces of property we could find for this purpose. It's 14 acres, eight or so are developable. And the one challenge, it's near QFC, it's near transit, it's near the port, it's near Larry Scott Trail. There's a lot of positives to it. The one thing that it's really missing is sewer. And so the city has is sizing up whether we want to make that investment. Well, first off, in buying that piece of property, which we're holding now till the end of the year to make to do due diligence, and then to sewer that so that both the property itself can be, you know, built out to capacity of, you know, this could be something like, you know, 100 units or so of affordable workforce housing. If anybody wants to know what it could look like. The Rainier Subarea Plan, done in 2017 and 18, actually spells out what live-work looks like in this very parcel. So it's very consistent with the zoning. You know, there are a lot of unknowns at council just this week. We talked about what we don't know. We're still doing due diligence, including tribal consultation, and, you know, thinking about how to make it work. But by the end of the year, we expect we will be advising council on how to move forward. And then it'll be all hands on deck, you know, city playing a role. If we do go forward, you know, likely housing providers, development community, technical assistance, Housing Solutions Network's been really helpful as we've worked through some of the potential engagement on this. And then next year we'll have a process. We'll talk with, you know, if we do get the tick on this from council and we decide to move forward, it's a community opportunity to talk about what could a unique community neighborhood asset be right there to really push go on affordable and workforce housing. Let's be clear though, it's not going to be the silver bullet. You know, one well done, you know, development in the right place is not going to solve the problem. But we really need to pull out all the stops, take a few calculated risks, and really deal with one of the most pressing problems that this community is facing, which is those who provide value in the workforce for the city, for local businesses, for the service industry, for the port, for the school, for the hospital. People can't afford to live here. And even if you can afford the price on a house, there's not much available. So how do we free up those opportunities to keep people who are working and contributing here in our community?
So Evans Vista, two words I'm sure that we'll be hearing a lot more of as we go forward here in Port Townsend. So this is a matter of the city providing the infrastructure and then being able to lure a developer to build. Is this
Yeah, or multiple. I mean, there's so, like I said, there's a lot of unknowns. We need to make sure it you know pairs with the underlying zoning and the vision for that area and our values as Port Townsend. This is not going to be a cookie cutter. You know, there's no vision of like, oh, let's just drop something in from some other community. I mean, that I know this community well enough to know that wouldn't work. You know, this could be ownership. It could be rental. It could be a mix. It could be we could experiment with community land trust models of ownership to make sure in perpetuity that there's affordability beyond the first purchase. So there's a lot of opportunity here to get creative and to work together. And a lot of those things have not been determined and won't be able to be determined before we decide whether or not to jump in.
Well, just in the past few minutes, there's been a lot of zeros when we talk about money here coming into different pathways, into the different projects that are foreseen here in Port Townsend within the city limits. Just a question, and I know that this may not be information that's right at your fingertips, but how does our revenue this year compare with pre-COVID?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. And I can give you the overarching big picture without all the actual pennies, line item. But, I think that if you haven't done so, I think one of my goals for the next few years is to unpack the budget and make it a little bit more accessible to everybody, because really that's where the rubber hits the road and what we have as community priorities and also how we get things done. And unlike some communities who happen to have some luck through COVID or just like a huge amount of sales tax or whatever it might be, you know, we're pretty lean and mean. You know, there's not really many places to pare back. And when you do, you're paring back services that we depend on. 2021, we expect it to be worse than it is. And so I guess the good news is we're coming toward the end of the year in the next few weeks with basically nailing the projections. And so top credit to the finance team for doing that. I mean, they've really done an awesome job, you know, essentially guessing well on where we'd end with our revenue. And they were nicely conservative. So we're coming in just a little higher than we thought. And that gives us some optimism into 2022. 2022, like I said earlier, I think we're seeing as a recovery year where we can build back a little bit, where, you know, some of the loss in staff that we've sustained over the past several years, and this is actually pre-COVID, our staffing into 2017 or so was quite a few more FTEs than we have now. I want to say something like 15 or so more than we have now. And we're only about 100, well, we're 96 or so full-time equivalents, probably 110 or so staff, but really 96 full positions. We were well over 100 just a few years before I arrived. So we've been in slow decline of staffing resources, and COVID really made that hard for us. We've had to, you know, I laid off people my first budget, and that was nothing that I wanted to do. Luckily, this year, there are two things that are conspiring to make it look like it's the same. But this year, we have given the operations of the pool to the YMCA. And so that meant those staff are off of our roster, but the service is still there. And in fact, what I hear when I see in the numbers, the Y is doing a fantastic job increasing usership of the pool. So thank you, YMCA. But all the while, we've been able to bring back a couple positions. So we'll stay steady at FTEs, even though those pool employees are no longer on the staff list. So 2022 looks like crawling back toward recovery. If you want to take the 3-page version of that, I try to scope that out in the front end of the budget. The city manager's message kind of explains the narrative of where we've come from and where we're going.
Interesting. Well, a new year is coming upon us, and there'll be challenges, I'm sure, but it seems like things are coming back in a certain sense as you walk down Water Street and see people out there celebrating the holidays. Yeah. Much different than it was a year ago. I'm optimistic. I'm glad to see us. And the Main Street program has done such a great job on coordinating some of the things that make this place so much fun to live in. So I really wanted to give a shout out to the Main Street program and what they've done downtown. The Big Tent is there.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's fantastic. I mean, I was talking to Mari Mullen, the director of PT Main Street, just yesterday, and I'm going this evening to their appreciation party at that very tent. So, you know, if you're in the community and you wander by, you'll see people under a heated tent talking about how we've done well during the time of the pandemic to kind of keep some things alive, and we're coming back. And man, it was great to see, you know, the tree lighting ceremony and some festivities this past weekend. I mean, you know, I'm not pretending that everything's back to normal, but you know, we found our way through some really big challenges. Another thing that was on the council agenda this week, you know, again, I can't cover it all because it was big and busy, was extending the streetery program. So those, outdoor venues that have some degree of rain and wind protection, where people can gather a little bit more socially distanced and outside of the venue, you know, those can continue in operation now until the spring and in the same fashion that they have been. So, you know, we couldn't have done that without PT Main Street and a host of partners. So you're right. I mean, it takes a little bit of grit and creativity, but, you know, you'll see that around town.
Well, there has been good news. The preliminary reviews that I've heard just in my travels throughout town on the YMCA pool have been all positive. There's some good things there. I'm looking out my window at the dog park, which is at full capacity right now with a lot of happy dogs. There are good things happening in this town, along with those very serious and controversial subjects that invariably are part of running a city. And I'm going to read a quote to you from the Leader article that you collectively did with all your cohorts from the PUD and the port. Few people want to remove the Lombardy poplars. That includes us.
Yeah,
I'll start with that. We have a town hall coming up on Wednesday the 15th. Is that right?
Yes. That is. And I think you'll be there. KPTZ is going to live broadcast. Thank you so much.
We will. And this time we won't have the programming constraints that we had last time. So we'll be able to do a longer broadcast of this. I was surprised at the number of people that participated last time. And I expect there will be, given the level of interest that we have here on this issue, quite a few people involved with this. How will this be any different than the last town hall?
Well, I think in a couple different ways. I mean, we were quite clear that, you know, everyone's needs can't be met in an hour or an hour. We stayed a half an hour late, or, you know, and the Zoom environment is in some ways efficient, but look, we'd all probably rather gather in person and actually physically connect and be able to draw on boards and talk and, you know, see each other. So I think, you know, just let's all acknowledge that the format is not ideal. And in fact, some people, you know, were protesting and the idea of breakout rooms and kind of shrinking the larger group down to smaller groups because, there are some constraints there. But hand over heart, we were trying to get as many comments and as many questions answered as possible. So walking out of that, the survey we did to the participants in that set of groups, well over 90% of people liked the format. So we're not going to make too many major changes to the format because it worked for the vast majority of people. One thing we will add at the upfront is a recap from the first town hall meeting we did in November 9th, so that people who are just hitting this for the first time can kind of hit the ground learning and know what we discussed last month. I think instead of doing the breakouts by subject area, we'll simply try to pare down the numbers so that the forums are smaller and there's a greater chance we could listen to more people. So the basic format is, you know, introductions, some ground rules. We want to limit some time because we can't listen to one person for 20 minutes because that has a serious impact on everybody else's ability to be heard. We'll break out into three or four or five rooms and there'll be somebody scribing and taking comments and answering questions. We'll come back to the main room. We'll briefly share out so no one feels like they missed anything. We'll do that twice and we'll wrap up. Really what this is meant to do is not to be the end all be all public comment, you know, gathering, although we will do that at this session. It's meant to also give people an understanding of moving forward, how can they be meaningfully involved, and we're baking it into the work itself. Engagement around the look and the feel and the type of tree and the species and the, you know, we want to map that out for people so they know what's going to happen when and how they can get involved in the things that they might care about.
And so the involvement of people, like in the leader article, it spoke about having some engineers and some arborists. That's further down the road then. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So that's not going to be happening next week. In fact, that probably won't happen in 2021. But I want to make sure people understand that, you know, there are some things, like I think I said in the first session, that, you know, we're not going to debate whether or not the project is going to happen. But if people come with good intention and ideas on how to inform a successful project, we want to set the table for that. So if people are, you know, we want a stakeholder group of arborist professionals who have, I mean, we've got a great community of really talented people to, you know, draw on to think about what that vision could look like. So, you know, workshops and, you know, sort of design can be community driven as part of the process we'll go through for the whole project.
I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah,
I think me too. I think it's a great opportunity. When you look at the number of, at least the letters to the editor, there's a lot of concern out there on
this.
And I think that this is a perfect, you know, as you said, Zoom has its drawbacks. A big room full of people would be, have a different feel to it, I'm sure, but we do what we can. And I'm glad that you'll be going forward with this. I'm so glad that KPTZ will be able to broadcast it also.
Yeah, thanks, Tim, and thanks to the team at KPTZ. We're excited. I mean, I truly believe in just, you know, like, let's get it all out there. And I know that there are particularly a few individuals who are quite furious about this, and unfortunately, they tend to be peddling misinformation on what's really going to happen and when. And so I think the best service we can provide is be completely open. Like, this is what we plan on doing and when and where, and this is how you can get involved. And hopefully those who want to stir the pot and, you know, feed the misinformation, that just won't be, that won't be the lead, because that's just, there's no worse tragedy than in democracy, at least from my perspective, spending a lot of time on something that actually isn't the solution. We're wasted. We have limited energy and resource. Let's focus on what we can do together instead of how to rip stuff apart.
I like it. So that is Wednesday the 15th. We'll be broadcasting live here at KPTZ on the 15th at beginning at 5 p.m. We'll see where this goes. I'm sure it'll be a spirited a forum on this issue, and that involves all of us. We all care about what this town looks like. From just reading comments, I see a lot of folks are afraid of port towns and losing its unique features to a certain blandness that we see in other towns. But we are not other towns, and I think that we can work together to make this happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think my final word on this is, like, we could just kind of clunk along, much like we've done with other parts of our infrastructure, and wait till it collapses or kills somebody, or, you know, or we could actually be a little gutsy and think about what is it we want. And it does require some difficult conversations, but I'm of the mind, and I think I could speak for the other administrators and, you know, probably a lot of other leaders in town. We'd rather take the risk and have a difficult conversation to try to get the future we want than to rely on whatever's handed to us. I think that's too passive. And frankly, I think if we don't take action, the future's going to steamroll us. So I'd rather aim proactively for what we want.
No, steamroll is not good. And as I, especially when I walk along Sims Way, I can envision a certain daylighting of that area that will be different from what we're used to. It's almost, I always think of Port Townsend as a big city in a very small space that is in, it's Central Park. It's unique location. And if we're careful about how we move forward with this, as I'm sure we will be, it can be a fantastic place in the future.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, John. We have another 30 seconds if there's anything on your mind that you would like to get out.
Oh, I was just going to keep going with our current thought and just say, I think it's interesting that, you know, one of the big pieces that I think collectively most people feel some resonance with is our marine trades and our really unique port and location here and the history of those trades and the heritage we have that goes back for a very long time. And it's interesting being accused as a new guy with a different vision. You know, that's actually part of what this project is about, is actually recognizing the importance of that history. And so I think the boatyard expansion part of that is really integral. And I applaud the port executive director and also the commissioners for being gutsy and really thinking about how to make sure that marine trades and that maritime economy is something that stays part of what we value about this town.
I agree. Thank you. Thank you very much. We will talk to you again next Thursday. John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager. You have been tuned into Brewocracy now on KPTZ. And it is a good way to hear the latest about what is going on in this town that we all love so much. Thank you. See you next Thursday.